I don't.
Do you have like a story? We used to start off with. Actually, do you have a bonkers book rack? Well, you haven't done that.
Do I? Let me see.
I'm trying to think what I've read recently that could work.
I know. We have a bonkers book situation, which is at Sarah McLean.
The bonkers book situation that took me out. Y'all don't understand. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you saw Sarah McLean post our like bingo boards and tagged us, which is how we ended up gaining like 200 followers overnight, basically. Or like in like 24 hours or something.
Our phones were going off like crazy.
I was like minding my business. I settled in to read a book at like 10 p.m. and then I saw shout out to Faded Mates, a podcast that, you know, the one, the only.
You probably know it.
You probably know it. It's great. Fantastic. Whatever. They followed me and also Hannah and also our account on Twitter. But they didn't like retweet anything. They just followed us. And I was like, huh, celebrity sighting. Cool. Cool. You love to see it. That's fun. And then, like, I don't know, half an hour later, something like that, all of a sudden, Sarah McLean mentioned you in a comment. And I said, huh? And then I went to Instagram, and sure enough, she had posted our bingo boards and not, like, crossed off all the ones that she had written and then recommended listening to our podcast, which, by the way, if you're just now listening to us, coming to us from Sarah McLean's recommendation, I don't think Sarah's actually listened to our –
no.
I mean, wow, if she did, that's crazy. That would be amazing. However, probably she hasn't, so I feel the need to tell you this is chaos.
It is – unrivaled, I think, in terms of chaos.
We're,
I think,
like, not smart.
I was honestly okay to plug us a little bit. After our moment of fame, I went back and like watched our like snippets that Caroline like picks out for our reels. And by God, we're funny.
We are funny. I'll give us that. But we are also like unhinged.
But yeah, it's funniness coming from the unhinged, not really that we're like trying to be funny. It's just how our brains
I don't process. Want like if you listen to Faded Mate, they are so like brilliant.
Oh yeah.
And they can like take apart romance, like talk about the history of the genre, like really bring some nuance. They are fascinating to listen to. That's not really our vibe. We are just maniacs who listen, I mean, read a lot of historical romance.
Yeah.
And we decided to record the chaos that is our conversation every time we talk. So just to like manage your expectations.
Yeah, you can go to Faded Mates for like everything, and then you can go us when you like are, I don't know.
What was that tweet that we just saw that was like, I don't listen to become smarter, I listen to to hear two people who know each other too well just whatever they said, like talk for 50 minutes or whatever. That's us. That's our vibe.
I retweeted that, but I don't know where it is. But yeah, we have learned a lot about each other in a very short time. And we did not know each other before this podcast. Somehow we became mutuals. I think it was on Instagram. I don't quite know how that all happened. I somehow got on Caroline's close friend story. And then she asked that if people wanted to be in a book club. And I was like, yep. And then a lot of times it was just us on the call. So then we were just like, we could record this. Well, actually, our friend Kylie said that she would listen to us talk.
Because we were already spending all of our time talking about
like
the most unhinged romances we'd ever read. Historical,
like,
mostly.
Yeah. And there's only so much you can talk about like on social media before like people just refuse to listen anymore. And so like you can totally refuse to listen to this, like that's your prerogative, but at least this is like a separate format where like you have to actively choose to engage.
That's true. Feel free to hop off if at any time you're like, I don't like this. That's fine. You are entitled to that. Goodbye. However, we will be recording even if we're the only ones listening.
Literally. Oh yeah, okay, so the tweet was, I don't listen to podcasts to learn something beneficial. In fact, I'm actively against bettering myself. I listen to podcasts to hear two complete freaks who are overfamiliar with each other spout nonsense for 50 minutes, and then in time to adopt their speech patterns myself.
Yeah, that's our
vibe. It happens so much to me with YouTubers. I like start talking like them. It's bad.
I've never been a YouTube person.
Uh, I I have a weird, I have like anti-MLM, like I have like one of those people that I watch, and then I have like very weird niche YouTube things, like ex-Mormons. For some reason I got on that, it was like recommended to me, so I just watch a bunch of like ex-Mormons talk
okay
about being in the Mormon church.
Sure.
I know.
I missed YouTube. I very, very briefly in the early day, like middle school, I watched like Bethany Moda. She was like,
oh, see, I missed like all of those.
But that was the only one. I wasn't watching like a ton of YouTube. I just liked her videos. And like she would do little like back to school outfits and like makeup tutorial, like things like that, that I would watch occasionally and not for very long. But that's the only one that ever. I watched some of Jenna Marbles' video, but not like I wasn't like a watcher of Jenna Marbles. She was just one of the only people that I recognized, and I thought some of her videos were funny. But I was never like a YouTube watcher.
Yeah.
I would like to look at like BookTube, because there's a lot of people like, BookTube is really big, but I just long form video content isn't my
I like it a lot when I'm doing my skincare and like brushing my teeth and stuff. Like I just like pop on a video. And if I'm like tired of my audiobook but don't want to like invest in a show, like I'll like see if any of the ones I follow have like a new video. Or if I'm like eating lunch, like my lunch break, I like pop on a video for like that duration.
See, I'm more likely to throw on a podcast or music if I'm not in the mood for my audiobook.
I suppose that does make sense. That and we have a podcast, so could.
That's not why.
No. Just, no, but so yeah, you listen to our pod, like if you whatever moment you have, you throw us on. Screw YouTube. Gotta self promote.
Really?
Yeah.
Using that marketing skill.
Grad school taught me so much. Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't think I really read any like crazy bonker book situations.
Neither actually. Dang.
I know, like I've read a lot of face sitting.
Wasn't there face sitting in this one?
There was face sitting in Mine Till Midnight by Lisa Kleypas. It was very vet, like I didn't know. I was like, okay, wait, where's she kneeling?
It took me a second. Yeah.
Yeah, I had to reread it multiple times. I was like, is she kneeling?
All right, it didn't take me that long. I just rewound the audiobook.
But. Okay, well, I had the physical copy, so I had to, like, go back, and I was like, is she, like, where on his body is she kneeling? And then I was like, wait, his mouth is, like, on her.
It was a little, it took me a second, because it was, like, kneeling over him, and then something about his mouth, and I was like, T, are we, and I rewound.
Exactly, like, I thought she was gonna, like, straddle him for, like, yeehaw time, but no. It was yeehaw of the face variety. But yeah, I have been reading a lot of... That's a very disappointed look.
Yeehaw of the face variety.
Yeah. But there was a
somebody needs to make a bingo board of romance your TBR bingo, and it's every time that you. I actually don't know how I would put that on a square. Sometimes you just say things that like hurt me.
Anytime that I say things that hurt Caroline, anytime I put a dollar in the Twilight or Shrek jar.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to Romance Your TBR.
I'm Hannah, and I hurt Caroline.
I'm Caroline. We need those, you know, those t-shirts that's like, I'm with stupid and then I'm stupid. It's the I hurt.
I heard her.
Caroline. I'm Caroline.
If anyone has a t-shirt business.
No, if anyone has a t-shirt business, I still need somebody to make me the one from Immortals After Dark.
Yes.
Double Toil and Trouble. Motherfucker, you've been cursed.
That's a good one.
I want that on a t-shirt.
You haven't read the book yet, but my one to adopt is That's My Evil Bitch from Rydstrom's book.
Here we go, double t-shirts. That's My Evil Bitch with an arrow and then Evil Bitch. Please, please, someone who can make t-shirts.
My friend Mel, she actually does have Creating Sunshine Co. She made for Christmas, all of us. She made me the sweatshirt that has our logo on it. And she made one for our two other friends too. So now we're all just walking around with
your logo.
Our podcast logo.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Well, that's adorable. I thought you meant Fringe book reviews. And I was wow, they're so supportive.
But my friend got me a Fringe book reviews book, like, embosser thing. Like a book
stamp. Yeah, I saw that. I have one of those.
That was so cute. I'll talk to her about making.
Did they not make me a Romancer TBR sweatshirt? I'll pay money.
I will let her know.
I'll cover this shit. I'll pay. It's you fine.
My face, when I opened it, we were all in Barnes & Noble, and I was like, oh my god, this is a dream. Yeah, it's beautiful. I will show it to you after this, because it's over there. And then I will commission our evil bitch and Toil and Trouble.
Damn, all I want in this. I could never wear it around the house.
No.
My parents would be like, what are you wearing? They got mad because I have a friend who got me a mug that says Brunch Bitches on it, because we were our like that was what we called ourselves, because that's what we did. That was all like when we had time. Well, I'm not friends with either of them really anymore, but at the time we would go to brunch a lot, and so for one holiday she got us Brunch Bitches mugs, and my dad saw it and was like, Caroline, what is that? Why? And I was like, because we're the he doesn't understand the whole like using bitch affectionately
thing. Yeah.
He does. I've tried to explain it. It doesn't process.
I went through a phase on Twitter where I was a really big fan of like She Rates Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought her merch when she first came out with it. And one of them I bought is Girls Fuck, which is more so just like, you know, like if someone fucks, like, you know. But maybe like internet lingo doesn't translate to my 40-plus-year-old parents.
No.
We're like, what? Yeah. And I was like, yeah. So that was not the best choice, but it was cute and it was pink and white. So I don't really wear it, but I do love it. Yeah.
Well, that. I did get my mom, who doesn't do profanity, I did get her to wear matching the Bitches Back shirts with me for the Elton John concert that we went to. Disappointed both my older brothers. They were like, what?
Why? And on this podcast, we do profanity.
Why add another check to the bingo board? Why would you say it this way? Why would you do that?
Because you said it that way. She doesn't do profanity.
Yeah,
do
but profanity. I didn't. Okay. I am in agony. Not, and where is the hope?
No. Oh, Christ.
Her delicate toes. Oh, Christ.
Oh, Christ.
When the HarperCollins strike ends, boy, will we be reading some Lorraine Heath.
I am so excited. She is just, she knows what to do. But back to the face sitting.
Yeah. Back to the topic of the day.
The topic of the day. Heartbreaker by Sarah McLean. Disclaimer, it's a HarperCollins title. We support the union. But it does have face sitting. But A Day Until Forever by Erin Langston. It is a novella. If you subscribe to her newsletter, face sitting. It's in an abandoned like mill, and it's like really disgusting. So like they can't like do much besides sit, like she can't like she just has to sit on his face because that's like the only clean space.
Sure.
Was Get Thee Off My Lawn that had face sitting?
You're just listing face sitting instances.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I feel like now there's like a few others, but those are the two novellas that have face sitting. So
there you go.
Yeah. And that again ties into Mine Till Midnight by Lisa Kleypas.
Yeah, our topic for today is not face sitting, unfortunately. No. The topic for today is Mine Till Midnight.
Tangentially.
Don't say well. That's not the subject of this podcast episode.
It's always the subject.
We're talking about Mine Till Midnight by Lisa Kleypas.
We are.
I'm not sure when. We actually need to, like, move some of our dates around, I think, for upcoming episodes. But because I'm not sure exactly when the next – when – what you might call it at sunrise, sunset, whatever.
Yes. I feel
seduce
like –
Seduce Me at Sunrise – whatever that one is. I don't know when that –
Seduce Me? Seduce Me at Sunrise?
That's what – I think so. I don't know. The next one. I'm not – I'm just not sure exactly when our episode on that one will come out. Mm-hmm. But if you're, like, reading along with us, that'll happen.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, and I feel like we I immediately want to read that one, so we may have to record sooner than we post it because I'm eager to see where these books go.
Yes.
But yeah.
So I don't know, we'll figure it out, but that one is coming at some point. Yes. So we're reading them. Mine Till Midnight.
Yep.
And we have to address the Ellie from St. Martin's Press.
Yep, yep. So you can review and talk about them.
I just wanted to get the elephant in the room out of the way right off the bat so we can talk about the rest of the book, which is that this is a problematic book. Presumably the next one will be too. I don't know how much shows up in the later books in the series.
I've heard that people skip or like have skipped or like the first two are the main culprits. And I think in that – I can link it below, but there's a spreadsheet that has all like the changes that Lisa has made to her books. And I think it's the first three. I think the third one may have like a consent issue or something that she may be edited. But I think that the first two were the main ones of this series.
So for those of y'all who don't know, some of Lisa Kleypas's especially older books, although also some of the Raven Elves, but mostly some of her older ones have been – edited and updated and reissued. So a lot like the audiobooks and ebooks and things will be updated depending on where you get them. And any of the new covers are probably updated and edited versus like the original
copies
of the books will have the original books. Most of the time it's for things like consent issues, which I have mixed feelings about because on the one hand I understand wanting to be like, you know, this doesn't really reflect, it didn't age well.
And like
maybe it doesn't reflect like her beliefs now, whatever it is. But I also have complicated feelings about non-consent and dubious consent in romance because I think a lot of times it can be doing something really interesting. And if it's from an older romance, you know, they're a product of their time. And sometimes you just have to like take the problematic and acknowledge that it's problematic, but also recognize where this is coming out of. However, in the case of the Hathaways, it's not just dubious consent issues. It is, I mean, I don't know, I can't speak to the second book, but the first one, Cam is Romani. And boy, I mean, I listened to the audiobook, which was updated, and so there was still some odd, like, exoticizing going on. It wasn't as bad as I was anticipating, I think, because it was the updated one, but I know you had a hard time.
I read the original Step Back version because I don't think I even own the revised physical copy. And I didn't want to do the audiobook because I don't like the narrator and it just wasn't going to end well for me in that sense. So then – and I like forgot that this was going to happen. So then I started. I was like, oh my God. I had to like take a little nap. I like started and I was like, okay, we're gonna put a bookmark in that and then come back to it. There was a lot. There were like slurs and like Caroline's like just exotic, like I don't
like borderline fetishization.
Yeah, I was gonna say like we don't know enough.
Well, and so that's the other thing. I tried doing some research to see if somebody had like gone really in depth and picked apart like here are the problems with the characterization of Cam and the Romani people. Because I don't know, we are not well-versed in Romani culture.
No.
So I cannot tell you, like, oh, this is not an accurate representation versus, like, oh, I've seen some reviews where they were like, it actually seems like she did a lot of research. So, like, we are not knowledgeable in this area. Yeah. So, like, we can't really speak to how much of the characterization and how much of the representation of the Romani people was, like, making it sound very supernatural and mystic versus how much was actually very well done. But I can say definitely there was a lot of – well, in my version, there wasn't a ton. It seems like the thing that was mainly updated was there's no longer any slurs except for when a character is being – like they are in the wrong. They are being racist to Cam. Sometimes there will be – and, like, that's when you get, like, oh, you're uncivilized or, like, the use of different slurs – saying that he's not good enough to marry the heroine, etc. But for the outside of that, the narrative and any characters that we're supposed to agree with use like he's a Rom or
and that's
like, the Romani,
main,
right?
Because I got the
versus you got
the full blast
the other
Like Westcliff had some lines, Leo had some lines. I was like, oh my God.
So I do think for the most, like, it was okay reading. Like, I could still, there was still some, like, kind of exoticizing Cam. He was a little, like, mysterious. He's a little othered.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, it definitely wasn't as bad as your reading experience. Yes. It was just kind of odd.
I will say, though, that it did work. I guess, like, I'm happy that the audiobook was updated, like, before, like, anything else, just because, like, when you're reading a physical book, I can just, like, skim right over. But it's hard to know in an audiobook, like, how far you can just, like, skip ahead or, like, have to bump things. Like, there's a scene towards the end where a character is just...
Spoilers. We're going to talk about spoilers.
Yeah. So our enemy, Christopher Frost, says some really bad things to Cam, and Caroline was like, that was horrible. And I was like, that's not even in the original copy. Like, she's reading the updated, so I don't even know how bad it was in the original, but I just skimmed right on over it. I mean, I didn't.
You're far more uncomfortable reading. Like, you had to skim it. I didn't have an issue. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, I wish I could skip this. It just made me want to fight Christopher Frost.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I already wanted, like, I just.
Racist, classist piece of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, like, one of those instances where, like, he is using slurs, and he is saying, like, calling him uncivilized and things, which outside of that, in the updated version, there wasn't a ton of. It was
like
mostly,
the main character, like, Amelia wouldn't.
Yeah, it was for the most part, with a couple of exceptions, for the most part, it was much better about, like, either Cam would say, like, oh, they're trying to civilize me, or, like, somebody who is, like, a bad character is saying, like, oh, you brute, uncivilized, whatever it is. You're not fit to marry her, et cetera, et cetera. All of this to say, go in with a grain of salt, depending on which version you're reading. Even in the updated one, there's still some not great, like, exoticizing. And also, like, again, I don't know enough to say, like, this was an appropriate depiction of Romani culture, or if it was, like, really mysticized or what. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But just be aware of that going in if you have not read it yet.
And
or
check
if you have.
And check the copyright. I think some ebooks weren't updated, and they still said they had, like, the 2007 copyright. There was, like, an article that mentioned it. I don't know if that's since been updated. So just, like, if you want to know, like, anything with a more recent copyright, like, the current audiobooks, they're all updated. And, like, it's, like, 2021 or something like that. So that's that. And there is one other scene. There was, like, something with bees. I don't know what that is,
but there was a dubious consent scene that was changed.
Their second sex scene, like, full sex scene,
which I'd like to read to compare, because I saw excerpts from it. I understand why. I do, but again, I'm far more comfortable with, like, dubious consent in romance.
Because I also read the It Happened One Autumn. I read the physical copy of that. And it was also that same kind of, like, she was drunk. And that's when they first, like, had sex.
It wasn't the same. It was just that one, she's drunk. This one.
Yeah, no, it's not the same situation. But I read, like, the original scene.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think she also deleted the ring shopping scene in Secrets of a Summer Night. I, like, was talking to you about it, and you were like, what are you?
There was a whole scene where he gets her a ring, and I was like, what ring?
I was like, it was a cool scene. And you were like, what?
I don't know.
I don't really know why that one was taken out.
Who knows?
But
just, and like you said, we'll link that spreadsheet. So if you're ever curious about, like, is this an updated one? Is there something changed that I need to be aware of? That'll be there.
Yeah. And we didn't make this spreadsheet. It's from a Facebook group that I'm in. They said, you know, it's free to share. I don't know if everything's still accurately reflected in there. It was made, you know, a while ago. But it is interesting to look at if you want to know what versions of books to read based on your interests of that kind of thing.
Yeah, because if, like, for example, him sleeping with her when she's drunk is going to be a thing that you're super uncomfortable with, I would go with an updated version.
Yep.
Versus, like, that's not a thing that bothers me. In real life, it would, for the record.
Yes.
That is a thing that should not happen in real life. However, no. In the context of this book, it was a really interesting scene. And I think she made that choice for a reason. My thing is, they probably did that for a reason. Like, the author is not condoning it just because it's in the romance novel. And it's... romance is not a... People have said this before, so I'm not going to get on my soapbox too much. But, like, romance novels aren't a guide.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people do bad things.
Frequently, you know.
And just because it works doesn't mean it's good. Anyway, but that's a big one with Lisa Kleypas's, especially older books. Watch which versions you're reading. Anyway, so that's our spiel about the problematic representation of Romani characters. I'm sure it will come up again in the second book because Mary Penn is also a Rom.
Yes.
So.
Yep. As for this book, I was interested to see Cam's character because obviously I love Scandal in Spring, and Daisy has this whole random scene where
it's so her and weird.
Cam, where her and Cam make out in this like haze, like it just feels like a weird hazy vignette that like feels like a fever dream, where it like works to like show Daisy like I don't know that she wants some I don't
what does it do.
I don't.
I read that really and I was like, okay.
Because I think I've heard that she was trying to set them up and then she realized they were just like too similar and she didn't want to write that book. So I think she like pivoted to Matthew Swift, which I do think Daisy and Cam would be a weird, you know, like situation.
She's too, and he needed Amelia's like down to earth.
Yeah.
Ironic. Because she's, like, grounding him, and his whole thing is that he wants to, like, go live the Romani lifestyle, etc. Mm-hmm. Which, again, might be part of the, like, weird characterization.
Yeah, I don't.
But
yeah, that whole random makeup was in the autumn book, because then we got Scandal in Spring, and I was reading, and I was like, wait, who is this Matthew Swift person?
Was it autumn? I thought it was winter.
Oh, winter. Duh. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Winter came before spring.
Because we didn't see the club until winter.
Yep, you're right. So it was like the winter book.
It is a
weird
scene.
And then,
But we haven't met Cam before. I really liked Cam in Devil in Winter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like him here too. I just...
Yeah, we were talking about... He just seems like very one-dimensional.
I feel like he has this whole conflict, which... I mean, it was interesting. His whole, like, he wants to, he's Romani, but he had to leave his tribe for some unknown reason. He was in danger, and they, as a child, took him to this club and left him there to work, which is, like, not what the Romani
with
people
Evie's
do.
With Evie's father, Ivo Jenner.
So he's been working in the club, which is where we met him in Devil in Winter, for many years, and he's really good at it.
And he's great at math.
He's great at, like, putting down fights. He's always one step ahead of everyone. Yeah, like, he's really, really well cut out for this job. So he's been here for many years because he promised not to run away. And then also, Sebastian was like, you're getting a cut of the club's profits. And he was like, no, because another Romani thing, he doesn't want, like, an excess of material possessions. And that includes money. But he has this good luck curse where money just comes to him. He can't get rid of it. He tries to make bad investments, and then the investments are really good, and he makes more money.
That popped up at the end. I was like, oh, that was hilarious. It, like, brought that curse back around. And I thought that was good. And then also just how, like, the Hathaways are very unlucky.
Yeah.
Like, they're just a disaster.
Rip Hathaways.
and so pairing Amelia
so, like,
and him,
I thought
it,
Cam
it
was
worked.
Interesting at first. But then after a while, I was kind of like, okay, so your whole thing is that you want to leave, but you're, like, conflicted about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got his whole, like, Irish heritage that's keeping him in play, which, like, okay, so we're really leaning into the, like, heritage thing, which I don't know that I always agree with, like, nature versus nurture and all of that. And then on top of that, as soon as he accepts Amelia, it's, like, a very, like, he has this whole thing where he, like, goes out into the woods and is thinking about Amelia, and then instantly is like, you know what, never mind, I'm gonna marry her.
She's like, everything's changed. Yeah. Which, honestly, I don't mind a moment like that where... There's, like, the sudden, like...
I don't mind because we don't have to deal with all of the,
deal
like,
with it. Exactly. You
like,
know?
Oh, I like, don't want to whatever. I appreciate that. It, I just, like, I felt like we needed a catalyst for that.
Yeah, I felt like we needed deeper conversations between Amelia and Cam. Yeah. Because I didn't really get the sense that they, like, really knew each other. It was definitely insta-lust.
Yeah.
You know, they looked each other across, like, the road and, like, were always drawn to each other's eyes and stuff. But I never had them just, like, really deeply talk.
Yeah, no, I felt, like, the connection.
Yeah.
Like, the initial spark.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. I was kind of – I was like, oh, he's going to marry. But, like, there was no moment – like, I wanted a thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just, like, him contemplating and he did. I mean, I'm sure something did happen, but it was small enough that I literally don't remember it.
It was really – he has a moment where he's, like, this – everything has changed.
Yeah, but wasn't it just, like
– I think either it was the sex or –
No, because he had decided before the sex.
It was before that.
Because remember, he, like, goes off into the woods and he has his whole moment. And then you cut to Amelia in bed, and all of a sudden he comes into her room and is like, we need to follow this path where it leads.
Yeah, so then that was the sex. Yeah, that was very confusing because she was like, I don't know how he even knew because she like opened her window because she was like sweating. She was like hot. She was like woke up from a dream or like she couldn't sleep or something. She like opened her window and then he like walked through her door. And I was like, oh, he's here. And then he was like, let's do this. I mean, yeah. They had like a conversation about – But, like, you never saw the shift. Like, you're right. You never saw the shift in either of them to where you'd be like, oh, yeah, they were totally cool with, like, going to
I mean,
this
you saw
it in
– well, the sex, I guess I didn't see the shift for Amelia. You saw Amelia decide.
Like, yes.
You knew the moment Amelia decided, you know what, I am going to marry Cam because she'd kind of been going back and forth about it. That makes I wanted that for Cam, I think, was the problem where I was a little bit lost when he suddenly decided to give up his entire life plan of, like, going back to find his tribe and living as a Rom and instead is now, like – Never mind, I'm going to marry this. What was the thing? I wanted
Because he was so opposed.
Right.
And then it was like a very quick switch. And obviously, like, I guess love can do that. I wouldn't freaking know.
But they hadn't gotten to know each other well enough.
Exactly.
That I couldn't believe it.
I did love when he was like little sister. He was like calling like her siblings his siblings. Like that was cute. And like how he started to like... I don't know.
There were a lot of things I really did enjoy. I like the way
he part of the family.
Became a part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it – I felt like something was missing, but I was also just like, you know, like – because you said you liked the beginning and then it kind of fizzled. And I actually liked the end, like the middle half on more than I liked the beginning. Because I did like I said, like I'm totally okay with him just being like, I'm a marrier and we're not going to deal with that. And we didn't really get a breakup.
I felt their connection at the beginning. And then by the end, I was like, so you're just hooking up. But, like, I mean, it's not that they never talked. They had conversations, but it just didn't – I didn't feel their relationship progress to a point where they were emotionally involved enough to just decide to get
married.
That
I do agree.
And so I felt the beginning and the insta-lust and, like, the tension I thought was really good. And then after they had hooked up, I was like – Okay, like shoot, the whole thing with his ring I thought was really cute. You know, Lisa and her tokens.
And also the ribbon never came back up when their first
meeting. Yeah, what happened to her ribbon?
He cut her ribbon off, which I bookmarked because I eat that shit up. I was like, oh my god, he like cut her ribbon off, and then she like mentioned it, but like he like obviously kind of like denied it a little bit, but he never like it was never like on his person or like. There was never a scene where she, like, found it and was like, aw. Like, she, I guess because she just knew he took it. Like, there was no mystery about it. Like, she just knew that he was, like, into her and stole her ribbon.
Yeah.
I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
Because I did think that was fun. Like, because I really liked in the second half, like, the him doing, like, the littler things. And, like, I liked her progression with the Leo's character and, like, how she kind of learned to both understand that she can be angry at someone but also still understand that they're grieving. And I liked how someone called her out for being a martyr and then she kind of worked through that she didn't always have to be this mother figure, like someone else could take care of her, which when Cam was like, you need to eat and like fed it, that's always a good scene for me. Not my favorite Lisa ever, but I was actually pleasantly surprised with how it ended. There was, like, no breakup, like I mentioned. A little dramatic, random moment at the end.
And here we go, because Lisa loves a dramatic external third act, which I eat it up. Yeah. The Secrets of a Summer Night, wild. trains collapsing, buildings on fire.
There was a lot happening.
He thought he was going to die in that building. Like, and I ate it up. I was like, this came out of nowhere. Love it. I love a dramatic, wildly out of left field Lisa Kleypas third act.
I forgot about that.
Ghosts, I didn't see coming. And I feel like it might tie into the, like, kind of problematic, like, mysticism thing, because it was tied to the, like, oh, Cam knows what's going on because this happened to a person in his tribe once. It's a ghost. He knows how to solve, which I was like,
It just felt like a completely different novel.
Yeah, it was like a gothic. Which, I mean, I love ghosts, so I didn't entirely dislike this little plot line. But it was kind of like, it's supernatural. Sure. All right.
I agree. I was taken aback when we saw – so Leo's fiance had died of scarlet fever. Leo is – he's going to get a book. I think he's maybe book three. I don't know.
Yeah, he's book four. He's almost at
book four.
I think.
So he's – I think we're getting the West Ravenel effect of
– Well, this is very like
– Yeah.
Because this became before the Ravenels. So it feels like a very like
it feels that. Mm-hmm.
You have the – wastrel brother who has to spend some books pulling himself together. You have the sickbed sub romance or subplot romance with Mary Penn and Wynn that starts developing in book one, and we'll see in book two.
That felt like
it's Winterborn very Winterborn.
Helen, what for West was he grieving anything? I can't remember what threw him into his.
I don't think he was grief. I think he was always just kind of
just lost.
I don't remember a specific. Oh, well, their whole thing is they had like a horrible childhood, both of them. Because remember, they you don't remember. Devin and West, I don't remember like what it was that happened to their parents, but something happened. They like had a really awful childhood and were like getting passed around. They ended up in that school, which you get the background with in his and Phoebe's book, because like that's why he was so awful to her dead husband, is because he was having a terrible time himself.
You're right.
Like, he just generally had both of them had a really rough time growing up. And so it was inheriting the title that made Devin, well, not initially, but once Kathleen ripped into him, he started getting invested. And then Devin pulled West out of it by, like, giving him a job and getting him involved.
And just a note, I had started Cold Hearted Rake, and I – like, I had started that one, I started the audiobook, and then I was, like, an hour into it, and I was like, no, he's a dick, I don't like it. I read reviews that, you know, solidified that, and I was like, nope. And then I went back to it this past year, and I actually really liked that book. It was really good.
Yeah, people, hate on Cold Hearted Rake, and I understand, it's, like, the first book in a series, which is always, with at least with Lisa Kleypas, but I've noticed with most authors, going to be a little bit shakier than the rest, because you have to establish...
This one
more.
Maybe fell into that too.
Yeah, which I expected midnight. Going in, and I had heard people complain about Kleypas's like first heroine is always like the motherly character, which is true, but I identify as that character. So I like Kathleen. Annabelle, The Secrets of a Summer Night was also probably my least favorite Wallflowers book, but I still liked it.
Me too.
I still had a good time. I liked Annabelle.
She was good. I don't think I really had an issue. It just wasn't like it didn't spark joy, I don't think. Like nothing. In that one.
Well, but for me, even a so far of the Lisa
even
Kleypas
a middling
that I have read, even a mid-tier Lisa Kleypas is still, I mean, like, I give it 3 stars, but that's compared to other Lisa Kleypas.
Yeah. I agree.
If I were comparing it to other books, it might be 4.
Yeah. Like, every, like, I've only despised, like, 2 Lorraine Heath books, but they're still very well written.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe it's 3. I'm thinking one more. They're still well written and they're still compelling. There are just things that, like, personally, I don't like. But Lisa, obviously, she's just...
Right. Well, and that's this book for me, where I was like, I have issues with it. I don't love it.
Yeah.
I was kind of, like, towards the end, I was kind of like, okay, I just need to, like, kind of hurry up and finish this book. I didn't super care.
I think maybe if I would have read via the audiobook, I maybe would have had more of an issue because I would have had to, like, sit and listen to everything, whereas when I read a physical book, I can kind of, like, it's not like I skim, but I can kind of, like, choose where I want to devote more interest, I guess. I don't
know. Oh, see, I have the opposite.
Oh, really?
I have to read everything if I'm reading.
Mm.
I don't, there are no parts that I'm going to skip over. And it takes me longer because I'm really focusing.
It takes me longer because I can't do anything else. Like, I was reading, like, half of the day yesterday.
Yeah.
But I find I get more angry when I'm reading an audiobook.
Oh. I just don't tend to get angry the way that you do. So this is not an issue that I run into. But I had a good time. I thought it was fun. I liked Cam. He did that thing with the ring.
that was good.
I posted on my story. The whole ring bit. I've never seen My Best Friend's Wedding, but I have seen the scene from My Best Friend's Wedding.
That's what that was from?
Yeah. It's Julia Roberts. I don't know the context. I'm assuming it's his ring that he's either going to propose to another woman with or something like
Cameron
that.
Cameron Diaz.
Sure. And she's got it stuck on her finger and she's like laying on the floor and she's like, it's stuck. And so he, in a close-up shot, takes her hand, deep throats her ring finger essentially, and then uses his teeth to pull it off of her finger and then like pulls the ring out of his mouth. And Cam literally, she's like, it won't come off. And Cam literally, I think it's like he's the like, second time, because the like, first time he just takes it off of her.
Yeah.
After he makes her orgasm, and that relaxes her enough to get it off.
He's like, you need to relax, and then, because like right. She's like very stressed, and then after her multiple orgasms, it just slides right off.
But there's another time when he takes it off with his mouth. He does that, where he like takes it off with his teeth.
Because he was like, you have to wear it.
Around it.
He's like, you have to wear it while we have sex, hot. But you can take it off after.
It's hot.
It was very hot. I really enjoyed the sex scenes in this book. There were many. More than I thought there were going to be.
Lisa Claypool always really surprises me.
I know. I enjoyed that second scene.
I forget how steamy her books are every time.
I mean, Devil in is it Devil in Disguise? Her latest one. That one, Face Sitting 69. I think it had some. It had didn't some moments.
I didn't really love that
did
book.
It? Oh wait, yeah.
That's another one that I was like. I had a good time.
Oh, see, I loved that one.
But that was like a 3-star for me.
He has amnesia. So
I didn't mind the amnesia. That wasn't – I just didn't really – it was not my vibe.
I actually really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. where were we? Oh, I liked Cam. I really did like Amelia. We were talking about this earlier, but
she was a lot more layered.
She was. I think she had a lot going on. I think she manages to pull off the like bossy older sister – which
but still
me,
endearing and...
that is still like, but she's humble enough that like, yeah, to a certain extent it is because she thinks she knows better than everyone, but it's very clearly from a place of like, I want to take care of you and not from a place of, I just know better than you. So I'm going to like get off on telling you what to do.
And I like that she wasn't a pushover. Like she understood when she was angry and like, she let herself be angry a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times like when dealing with Leo, you would maybe see the character just kind of like always make excuses when obviously he's grieving, he's going through a lot of stuff, but he was also making life extremely hard for his family and there were dangerous
right.
situations.
Like she was in the right when she
yeah and so she was able to voice her opinions but then also apologize, and also like the one time she just gave him a hug when she was like, I'm angry at him, but also
like glad
he just
alive.
Needs a hug.
Yeah. Well, and also there were multiple times where she would check herself, where like she was about to go off on him. And
exactly.
Then, at least once it was because Cam like kind of shook his head at her, like now is not the time. And she had the like ability to like put her feelings aside for a second and just say like, I will go off on him later about this because I am angry. But now is not the moment that I have to do that. So I liked her as a character.
I did too. And again, I think she had a lot of depth and the interactions with the sisters. I mean, she was going through a lot. Like one of her sisters, after their parents died and after scarlet fever ravaged the siblings, she started having compulsions to steal things. So she's got to deal with that because then her sister's stealing things that could get them all in trouble and it could be a very bad situation. Her one sister, Wynn, had scarlet fever and now her lungs are very weak. So she's always worried about her being okay. Poppy,
Poppy didn't have a ton.
No, she was kind of just there vibing.
She was doing all right. I'll be curious Leo. About her book because I feel like she was the least developed of the characters to me. But I think we just didn't spend a ton of time with her.
Exactly. Because she was like the middle one. Because like Beatrix was the
youngest.
Youngest. Yeah. Wynn was second to Amelia, I think.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, Poppy and then Leo was the oldest. And then he was grieving his fiance who perished from the scarlet fever.
Well, and also like their parents.
Their parents also, and they seemed like good parents. Like it wasn't like the terrible dead father.
It was it was like their parents were just dead. And he's just inherited a title. Like there was a lot. And I don't think they ever expected him to inherit the title either, right?
No, it was multiple people had died.
Yeah.
It was like a bad luck curse.
That was another thing I added to my list of like for future bingo boards. I was like, the classic multiple people have died all of a sudden and you inherited a title that you never expected to have.
It was really funny because normally you get like the cousin who's like trying to steal it. But this time the cousin was like, no, I don't want it. You have to have it. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like embraced the spiral that every past title holder had had. So like he was like, I'm just going to take this curse and let it take me.
Because he was dealing with essentially suicidal ideation this entire book.
Yeah.
So and, Leo's an interesting character to me.
Content warning for the end too.
Yeah. It's not quite attempted suicide, but it's like he has the intention.
Mm-hmm. And it's list like there's the conversations on page.
Yeah, like he has gone to this place and brought a gun. Like he is intending to do it. He is telling her like just you're gonna have to move on. I'm going to, and he doesn't go through with it or even attempt it. But and he that's is where about the
ghost
to.
Comes in.
Yeah, and then there's the ghost. Anyway, but the point is, I really liked Amelia. I do think Leo's interesting, which is I had just read a were talking about this a review that I really didn't like. The way that, like, the things that they were criticizing the book for, which, like, I totally get why you wouldn't like this book, but just that particular review, all the things they said really rubbed me the wrong way. And one of their things was how much they hated Leo and wanted him to just, like, get dragged behind one of his taverns and killed. And I was like, I understand being really frustrated with Leo and even just not liking him.
And at the beginning, you didn't know what was going on.
Right.
That wasn't the fiance thing wasn't revealed until like maybe a quarter way through or something like that.
Right.
But after that, I was like, oh.
Well, and like I understood like Amelia, I think her position makes sense where she's like, I love you and I care about you and I want you to be okay. But I am also incredibly angry at you for
and there's
putting your family in this position.
Yeah.
Because, like, if he dies, he's the only
They don't have the title. Yeah.
They don't have the title, and they also don't have, like, a father or other brother or anybody else to, like – so it's the Bennett family, but without Mr. Bennett, right? Like, it's just a bunch of young women. So not only can it just, like, Leo has to be alive for that purpose, but also, like, he's their brother. Like – They want him to be
and he
okay.
Was, and he was a great brother. Like, he was before, very attentive. Yeah. And he would, yes, before. And so, like, they were, like, if that's, like, happened in person, like, you know when, like, a shift has occurred and, like, it's very, like, you're grieving that loss, too. And then you become your new person with both the grief and the like,
right.
His metamorphosis into whatever character he's going to be in book four was started here. And I'm intrigued to see where he is in, like, book two and book three.
So he's, like, awful throughout this book. Like, he does really irresponsible, horrible things and, like, puts his family in a really awful position multiple times. And, like, burns the house down. Like, he's not good. But I, like, that review rubbed me the wrong way just because they were, like, really railing against him and just wanted him to die. And I was like, I think there's a lot going on with Leo that isn't – he's literally suicidal.
Yeah.
And like
I had my first assumption of him when we were first introduced and like of how that was going to go. And then by reading the book, it completely changed. And like you were rooting for him.
Right.
And you understood, but you were also angry. But like,
but you want him to get better.
There was,
you don't want him to die. He's not the villain. Yeah. He is someone who is really struggling.
And we've read characters where there's no real reason for them to be that bad. So they are just straight up the villain. And maybe if they don't get their, you know, comeuppance, then I'll be angry. I mean, it's happened a lot. But in this case, I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty dramatic person. So, like, I understand maybe at the beginning, but I think after reading, like, the whole thing, it'd be really
like, you don't have to like Leo.
Yeah.
But it's really bold to be like, I wish he would have died. Like,
Christopher Frost, on the other hand, he could have stayed in that fire.
Christopher Frost could have walked into the B room and I'd have been
I was like so close to texting Caroline. I'm like, what if he just stays in the fire? But I was like, Hannah, that's being too mean.
Well, and that's funny because it was before he like said all of his horrible things to him that you wanted him to die. I was just like, ah.
See, that's where I'm dramatic, you know? So see, like, But so I was like, I'm going to tame it back. And then I was like, wait, I don't have to. Because he was, and then, so we're also intrigued in that sense because he didn't get any, like, he just ran.
Yeah, what happened to Christopher Frost? Is he coming back later or is he just
gone? I don't know. I mean, I hope, like, I suppose I didn't care enough about him at the end, like,
no, I didn't
in
really
relevance to the plot care. To, like, be angry that he didn't, like, I don't know, he at least get, like, punched out multiple times. I don't know. Because I had other things to deal with at the end. But I would be intrigued just to see if he comes back.
I just
want to
know.
Like,
well, it's just because we know Lisa deals with her villains typically. Yeah. Even if it's not as satisfactory as we want. Mm-hmm. Like, is it Secrets of... Yeah, Secrets of a Summer Night that we don't see the villain get stabbed with a pair of scissors. Yeah. But, like, we hear about it. It's dealt
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wait, where did he go? Like, is he coming back? Well, or is he just like, she just didn't want to deal with him. He just ran
yeah,
off.
Yeah, well... Because he can technically go still be a good architect, right?
Yeah,
like, he
he's
could
fine.
Still, like, have a career and, like, be okay. He just won't have what he was searching for in the house. But I was just like, okay, he just ran out. Bye.
I don't know. If you've read the rest of the Hathaways, I guess you already yeah. know. Mm-hmm. I just want to know what happened to Christopher Frost.
Also, I didn't realize that, like, bee colonies are, like, that big.
Yeah.
I was like, two...
Yeah.
Like, how many bees? Yeah. 200,000? Like, how... I also loved how she was scared of them, and so then when she saw them, he had to, like, carry her out, and that was, like, the first sweetheart. I was like, oh.
I read two books back-to-back where there was a bee scene.
Oh, really?
Maybe bees should be another historical romance bingo. You would get at least Anthony Bridgerton.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we've got three now. We've got Nichols.
We've got Nichols.
Bees. Oh, and there's, the Virginia Heath. I think they're technically wasps, but on the cover they look like bees.
Oh, well.
So
here you go. Bees. Oh, and the Care and Feeding of Waspish Widows by Olivia Waite. One of them is a beekeeper.
Oh. That's fun. I would be a that would be a terrifying profession.
I won't lie, I read the book and I was like, could I be a beekeeper? Like, I wanted to have a bunch of little friendly bees that I was friends with. In practice, I could not do it.
No. I want the calming. I feel like it'd be very calming. Also, bees do die in this book.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a thing that people are upset about. Cam, like,
I don't know.
They need it for a poultice thing. And so yeah. He needs, like, bee venom. And so they, like, boil them in this stuff and then crush
the
bees.
They, like, smush them.
Yeah, they crush the bees.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't bother me, but I do feel like.
I asked you. I was like, did that stay in? I was like, I don't know if that was. Because, like, someone had mentioned, like, in a thing that, like, a bee scene was changed. I was like, was that the scene? Because, like...
No, I'm going to have to read my paperback copy to see what the mm-hmm. scene they're talking about is. But I guess, yeah, if that is something that bothers
and
you,
yeah.
just you. It's not
and
like...
I think the...
They don't, like, take you through the process of it. It's just mentioned that he,
but Beatrix... Beatrix does have fun. She's like, I liked killing the bees.
Yeah. Which, again, he was not just killing bees for fun. No. He was making a poultice to help Merrypins, the wound that might kill him. Yeah, it didn't feel like unnecessary murdering of animals.
No.
It was just they crushed a few bees. I think it's fine. What were my other... Bees. I don't know. I thought it was, like, fine, but not my favorite Lisa. I like the Hathaways. I like their family dynamic. Very curious to see what Merrypin's whole thing is.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of scared because it was like, so, you know, they obviously are rearing into each other. He's, like, been desperately pining. And then for some reason, it's a dramatic, like, devastating event takes Wynn away. And then when she comes back, now Merrypin is like, I won't love anyone. Like, fuck this. And then she's now being courted by a seductive other person who I don't know if she's going to, like, see through it or, like, what's going to happen there. And then he has to, like, obviously stop that. So I'm intrigued. I don't quite know what the devastating separation is.
I don't know. I just – you know I love the, like, secondary romance pining that gets their own book. We'll see. But he also is Romani, so that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll have.
But I do like the Hathaways. I read the summaries for all the different books because I pretty much always do that, even though it might spoil things. Oh. Like when you read the summary for a later book and it spoils something for an earlier book. I've done it to myself before. I've done it with Sarah McLean. I just don't care. It's just a thing that I do. Because I want to know who the main characters are. Oh, no, I pay attention. I want to know who I should be paying attention to and what I should be picking up on for later. And so we'll see when we read them which ones I end up preferring. But we know my preference for the Wastrel.
Yes, I'm brother excited. Who
improves, and his romance is with a, like, governess.
Ooh, ooh, I do like that.
I think she's a governess. Or, like, a companion, something like – she might be a companion, but whatever that.
So maybe Beatrix at that point if it's
– yeah, something like that. I think it said she's a governess. Whatever it is, we'll see what happens to Leo, but
– I've heard a lot of people talk about Leo's book, so, like, I'm excited.
I really will eat up the Wastrel brother who – gets his life together every time, apparently, because West Ravenel.
His progression through that series is daddy.
The things I would West Ravenel do to me. Anything and everything. It's fine. Everything is so fine. I'm fine.
And again, I just, you know, we get Westcliff, we get the St. Vincent's, we get Lillian.
Westcliff was good. Lillian was good. I loved the little inclusion of the fact that Merritt had – there was, like, the evidence that Merritt had been in Westcliff's study.
Yeah, the little honey tar and the – he was like, he just couldn't resist her, like, being in there. I was like, that's adorable.
I also had read – well, number one, I think I texted you that I was like, Sebastian makes an appearance very early
He's already talked about
Evie. And the entire time he was just talking about Evie. Well, he was talking about sex and being clever.
Which I thought was a fun conversation, too.
It was a great conversation. And then he immediately was like, I love my wife so much. And then was like, I'm actually going to go home right now. Can you finish up this work? And Cam is like, you're going to leave me to do the work? And he was like, well, one of us isn't even interested in having sex right now. Yeah. He's complaining about how bored he is of women. And one of us has a hot and ready young wife at home. I'm going to go do that.
I want to be a hot and ready young wife.
Bro, if Sebastian St. Vincent was my husband, hot and ready all the time. Call me, what's like, that pizza?
Oh, Little Caesars?
Is it Little Caesars? Domino's? Call me Little Caesars. Little Sebastians, if you will.
My God. There's, the conversation was that, so a great trope is that Cam was just demystified of sex and he was having too much of it and none of it was exciting and he was losing his sexual urges and he went to St. Vincent, who has had a lot of urges in his day.
Boy, he has.
And it was like, hey, is this normal for like a guy at like 30 to just like not want sex? And St. Vincent was like,
no.
What are you talking about?
He was so concerned. He was like, no.
He's like... and then he had this thing where maybe not the best conversation, like part.
Stop! It was like, funny. He was like, "Have you tried?" It was funny with ugly women.
He was like, "Cause like they'll be like grateful." Which
stop! It was. He's
like,
so
"You'll feel
funny.
Good about yourself. Like you'll feel like you're giving them."
He's
something.
Like, "It's new. It's intriguing. They're really grateful." And Cam is like, "So your solution is to have sex with ugly women?"
And then he's like, but. You have the same wife every night, because he was like, something new, you know, shake it up. And then he's like, but wives are different.
He does. He's like, let me tell you. Different friend. Situation. Can't recommend wives enough, especially my own.
I just love it.
I love Sebastian. That conversation already took me out. And then there was one that, before I had read this book, I talk about Sebastian with Sanj a lot. Mm. Because she also loves Devlin Winter and Sebastian. And we had been talking about what a wife guy he is and how in, like, Ravenel's, when you see him, he's just like, man, I miss Evie so much. What, you want me to sleep alone because Evie's not here? Guess I'll cry myself to sleep. Like, he's just pining for his wife. And then talking about how gauche it is to pine after his own wife. Mm-hmm. But she had sent me this scene from Mine Till Midnight because she was like, oh my god, like this, I think about this scene a lot, whatever, and she like screenshot it and sent it to me, so I had already read the little passage, but it still took me out in context, which is when the St. Vincent, or the whatever their last name is, when they show up at Stony Cross Park, and there's mention of Phoebe, who is just at this point a little terror.
It's so cute.
And will be like perfectly happy and then all of a sudden like squalling, and the only thing that will calm her down is Sebastian picking her up and cooing to her and being like, oh my poor little darling, like has someone displeased you? Has someone ignored you? Oh, the insolence. Like, my little princess, she'll have whatever she wants, and that's the only thing that'll calm her down. And then she'll, like, settle down and, oh, okay.
It was, I mean.
Because he spoils her so excessively. And I cry. I
love it. I love seeing the instances of those little children after having already read, like, the Ravenels and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's just real cute.
Well, I just love – well, you know I love a man with a child anyway. Yes. But I especially love a former hero,
mm-hmm.
like, wrapped around their daughter's thing. Maybe that's heteronormative bullshit of me. I don't really care. It makes me scream seeing Merritt hanging out in her dad's office because he can't reviews her and then Sebastian just spoiling the fuck out of Phoebe. Also, every mention of, like, there are multiple characters who say it, but I know Sebastian was, like, when they had Phoebe and he was like, well, I guess it's my destiny to be loved by many red-haired women.
Yes.
Also, Sebastian, yeah, it was... big girl dad energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He just loves women anyway. Like, not in a weird way, but, like, genuinely he loves women. It's so good.
Oh, I just love those little snippets. And of course, the Hunts and the Swifts.
You got mentioned of Daisy and Matthew.
They were mentioned, at least. Daisy's having a little baby.
They were going to.
So
that also took me out that they're like, well, Matthew is very tall and Daisy is very small. So it's been a hard time.
And then Lillian was like angry about it. And Westcliff was like, you can't blame him for his size. And she's like, I found that to be very fun because Westcliff was more of the, like, average height.
I love Westcliff.
So
he's, like, short and not hot. Well, he's hot, but he's not, like, handsome. He's just kind of interesting to look at. And then Lillian's, I think, above average. Like, she's the same height as Westcliff.
Yeah, because then they say that the daughter is going to be, like, the spitting image of her Merritt, with the big cinnamon eyes is what they kept saying. But I would give my left hand to see Daisy and Matthew's pregnancy conversations. So
this is another instance we need to just delve into fan fiction.
Ah, fucking, I know. God, makes me so freaking sad.
I know.
I know they're there. She mentioned them.
I want to see more of West and Phoebe, personally. That's my... I know they do come back in later books in the Ravenels.
Yeah.
But they do. We see them. But I just want... I want an epilogue. I want...
Was there no epilogue?
I don't know if there was no epilogue.
Or you want, like, a second epilogue?
Or if it...
You want, like, a...
Whatever it was... If there was an epilogue, I'm going to have to go back and look. But if there was one, it wasn't...
Well... I did love the in Chasing Cassandra, the whole what we got from West in that book.
Oh, yeah. No, I wept. But, like, that's why I mean, like, they do come up in later books. I just want to spend I want them to get the Sebastian and Evie treatment.
Yes.
I just want to see them
all the
time.
Which you just have to, I think, write more books and then I'm assuming we will, maybe.
I want a second epilogue. I want a novella of West and Phoebe and their babies hanging out. I want... Anyway, Last Mine Till Midnight thoughts? I didn't really...
I gave it... So, you know, I think it started maybe at, like, 3 and then it kind of went up to 3.5. And I think I ended at, like, 3.75. Like, that was my vibe. I liked your comment about, you know, in relation to other Lisa Kleypas's, it's probably, like, a 3. But in general, I think the book itself was, like, a 3.75. But definitely not my favorite, but... I was more invested as I was reading, and I ended up having a good time.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was fine. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
It was Lisa Kleypas, so even though it wasn't, like, amazing, the best Lisa, it was, I mean, phenomenally well-written.
Yeah.
Really,
like,
interesting, engaging character dynamics, etc.
I don't know if it did everything that I thought Cam's book was going to do. I think I maybe had a little bit of a high expectation, because when people would talk about, like, the whole Daisy, Cam, Matthew Swift thing, they're like, but Cam's book is so good, and, like, him, and so I was just, I don't know really what I expected, but despite my expectations, it was different, but it was good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to find a favorite in the series. I feel like Leo's book may, Governess does get me.
I have high hopes for Leo, but I am open to enjoying the others.
Me too. Okay. Well, this one
wrapped up. We did it.
Wrapped up. Stay tuned for when we...
Next week is The Secret Scientists of London, yes?
Yeah.
So next week we have a very exciting episode.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring a very special guest.
Yes, it was lovely. We did that earlier today, the day we were recording, and we just have to say that Elizabeth Everett is a very cool person.
She's very cool. That was a really great conversation.
It was.
So I'm excited for that episode.
Yes. And that takes us into February.
And then we'll be rearranging because we have,
we have some fun plans for Valentine's Day.
We do.
I'm pro doing Seduce Me at Sunrise a little bit earlier than we thought.
Yeah.
Because
that will, I feel like it'll probably be the one after Elizabeth.
After Elizabeth.
I think
yeah.
we were going to alternate and then we kind of forgot about it.
Yep.
So we'll figure it out. But next week will be a really fun, exciting episode.
Yeah. And also, if you're still listening, I think, like, if you have a suggestion and you want us to cover a book, you can email us. I feel like maybe DM, email. I feel like I'll see an email better than a DM.
Yeah, sometimes DMs get lost because it'll be, like, a request and, like, one of us will look at it.
Yeah.
And then the other one won't know that it was – it, sometimes that's just harder. Mm-hmm. But we'll see an email and eventually
yeah, even,
we'll
like,
respond,
we can,
maybe.
Yeah, or we can, like, create, like, a Google form, and if you have a book, you can just submit the response and then we can look that way because after we get into March then we're kind of like, you know, depending on the strike and how that goes and all of that, so
yeah, we're kind of playing it by ear.
Well, thank you so much for
yep
sticking with us and we shall see you next time.
Yep. Well, TBR Tuesday first, I believe.
You are so right.
And
we
then
got that.
No. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, because
there's
this
none
week,
this week that we are recording. Mm-hmm. There will be when you are listening to this. Yes.
Yes. And if you don't know, that's just a wrap up of all the books we've read from the past 2 weeks.
That we recommend.
Yep. That we recommend. Like, that includes ARCs and contemporary.
Yeah.
Because our main episodes are mainly historical. So that's a good way to just get a lot of freaking recommendations because we cannot be tamed. Miley Cyrus has nothing on us. So. Yeah.
The end.